screen. And we are joined tonight by Virat Nehru, a freelance writer and critic.
Hello, hello.
Chris Evans, a Sydney filmmaker.
Evening, everyone.
And we have a very special guest with us tonight. The Sydney Film Festival is only 1 week away. It is the big film event of the year. We are all extremely excited. And we are joined by the festival director, Nashan Moodley. Nashan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
So it's a big year. The festival's a week away. It's 12 wonderful days. Tell us about Sydney Film Festival 2017.
Well, we have, I think, a selection of really great films from all around the world. We've really worked hard and watched many, many, many films to come up with the final selection of 288 films from 59 countries. And the reaction to the program has been really great. We've managed to secure some very new films straight from Cannes, which is always pretty difficult to do. And we're very happy with what we've got.
No, it's marvelous. It's very exciting. You've got quite a few Australian premieres to boot over the course of the festival.
Yeah, We Don't Need a Map, the opening night film with a very topical subject, given the wave of populism in Australia and internationally.
Absolutely. I think it's a provocative film. It's a very, very funny film, and you'll see that in the next week. I think Warwick Thornton is a really great filmmaker, and here he's looking at an issue that I think caused a lot of controversy, a statement of his about the Southern Cross and how it was being used and perceived in recent times. And rather than shy away from the issue, he's decided to make a film about it. And I think that's a very good reaction. And it's a film that's going to, I think, cause a lot of thought and debate. And I think we're going to have a great night on Wednesday when we play it for the first time.
I think it's great to open the festival with a statement about the Australian character and how there are things essential to this country that transcend ideologies and political movements and that are just essential to who we are and what this land is.
Absolutely, and I think Warwick's done a very thorough job in a very fun way of examining the Southern Cross and its meaning and its symbolism. And you're quite right. I think it's a great film, and it's going to tick those boxes you've been suggesting.
Right.
And the following night, you have another Australian premiere with a very well-known Australian actor. The film is called Ellipsis.
Yes, it's directed by David Wenham. It's a film made in a very unusual way. The entire film was conceived of, workshopped, and shot in 10 days. And it has this very light improvisational air about it. I think it's a very refreshing film. It's David's first film as director, and I think he's done a great job.
Oh, it's very exciting. And you've got quite a few coming up over the weekend, too, international premieres as well. You have a film with Toni Collette.
We have two films with Toni Collette, actually. We have Fun Mum Dinner, and the film you're talking about is a French film called Madame, where we'll present the world premiere of the film, and it stars Toni Collette and Harvey Keitel, a Paris-set comedy, romance, drama, and wonderful performances. It's a really fun film, and we're delighted to have the world premiere in Sydney.
The one I'm really interested about is, because I've been reading up on my James Baldwin, so I'm Not Your Negro, because that's done really well in the States, and I'm really, really happy to see it here. So tell us a bit about that.
It's truly a fantastic film. I think I really agree with the New York Times, which says it's a life-changing film. And it uses the words of James Baldwin, that fantastic writer and analyst of race in America. And he planned to write a book about the lives and killings of three of his friends, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm X. It's a book that he never finished, and it's not been encountered before this film, really. But Raoul Peck, who's the wonderful Haitian filmmaker, has made some incredible films like Moloch Tropical, like Lumumba. He really wanted to do something with Baldwin's work and convince the family that he had an idea that was going to make these words really live again, and that he does. The entire film is in Baldwin's words, either through the manuscript, which is narrated very beautifully by Samuel L. Jackson, or through footage of Baldwin himself. And we look at what he was contemplating about race in America all those decades ago, and see the connections to race in America now, and not just in America, but I think in many different places. And it's a very challenging, illuminating film. And I think it's very important for everyone to see it.
Yeah, I think it's quite a unique experience. The other one I wanted to talk about was Wolf and Sheep, because that's also quite, you know, something quite challenging and quite new. And from an Afghan perspective, we haven't got that perspective across the world. So when winning that in Cannes, the director's fortnight, so I just think that's quite new, and it's interesting that he would choose that in a competition as well.
Yes, it's really a remarkable film. It's made by a young Afghan woman director called Shabanu Sadat, who will be here with us at the festival to present the film. And what I love about the film is just what you describe. It's really an unusual take. We don't see Afghanistan on the screen very much at all. When we do, it's usually just as part of a war, and you rarely see
a lot of negative stereotypes.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a film about a village, and we understand the society and this village through its children. But what the film does remarkably well is that it also brings into the film the mythology of Afghanistan, and these are fantastic myths. They're really, really wonderful. So there's this sense of magic realism to the film. There's a naked green fairy. There's a wolf that can shed its skin. There are amazing things in this film. So I think it's a very daring debut film, and that's why it's in the competition.
Wow, and what I think what is also amazing is that you're quite a magician, because you have the foresight, because you've picked some of the winners from Cannes, and they're there in the Cannes picks, which is pretty fantastic. We have Begald, which is Sofia Coppola winning the second ever Best Director.
Awarded to a woman.
Yep, it's fantastic. We have In the Fade with Diane Kruger also taking Best Actor category, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, thank you. it's very difficult to predict what juries do anywhere in the world and at any festival. But of course, we're very delighted to have these films. These are very big films. They're by major directors. Sofia Coppola, Fatah Akin. We have the wonderful Michael Haneke's new film, Happy End, which I'm delighted with. I think it's a very special and powerful film. And many more from Cannes, and perhaps there'll be a few more in the days to come.
Teasing that.
Well, very exciting. And one I'm excited for, I already have tickets for, is Wind River, with quite an incredible cast. And it's only one of the few. You've got so many from Cannes, but that's one in particular I think will get audiences quite, get them going.
Yes, and another award winner. It won the Best Director Prize at In Sudden Regard in Cannes. And it's, again, a great first film by a very talented scriptwriter, and it's very powerful. It's a thriller. It's a murder investigation, but really looks at the context of this particular place, a reservation, and that community, and how they're affected by violence and drugs. And it's a tremendous film.
I am quite impressed with how the feature section goes quite off the beaten track this year. I'm very happy to see a new Love Diaz once again represented. But there's a lot of films on here that, even as someone who tries to follow the big three international festivals, have completely passed me by. What are some of the interesting films that you think are represented in the features category?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. And I think we're very excited to present many of these films. A few of the beaten track that I think I would really suggest to people who want new adventures in the cinema, to see something they've never seen before, something not easily comprehensible but magical at the same time, is a film like The Ornithologist, a Portuguese film by João Pedro Rodrigues. It's very hard to define this film. I find it difficult to even describe.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, but it's quite a trip.
Okay, yeah. I'm in.
Well, that sounds excellent. And we're going to go to a quick break, but we'll be back with Nash and Midley talking more about the Sydney Film Festival. Stay tuned.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. City Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
And we're back on Film Fight Club with Sydney Film Director Nash and Moodley. And there are quite a few strands at this year's festival, a few that have got us very excited and really much looking forward to next week.
I was wondering about some of the documentaries that you feel are interesting or worthy of our listeners' time this year.
Well, I think my colleague Jenny Neighbour has once again put together a fantastic documentary program. We have some documentaries in very high-profile slots. As we mentioned, the opening film, We Don't Need a Map. We have I'm Not Your Negro in the competition. Those are films I'm particularly fond of, obviously. I think some of the other great documentaries we have, Chasing Coral, a film that was very successful at Sundance earlier this year and that looks at the great devastation of coral around the world and really tracks how quickly it can happen and does so in a very powerful way. Another film I like and is called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, which
great Steve James.
Yeah, which looks at I think the only bank that was actually prosecuted following the global financial crisis,
right.
The only American bank that was prosecuted. And it's a very small bank in Chinatown. And it just looks at the politics behind that, the banking system, the zeal of the prosecuting authority in that case. It's a fascinating film about this small family bank and what they went through.
Both of those films sound like they're about subjects which could otherwise have completely passed audiences by, stories which need to be told.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Another documentary that I absolutely love, and I find it very bizarre because of all the sports, motorsport is my least favorite.
Right.
And I went to a screening of McLaren when Jenny and I first saw it, and it's really a fantastic film about Bruce McLaren, the racing car driver and racing car designer. And it's really such a compelling, powerful portrait of this man that I think it's an amazing film.
Right, right. Looking at it reminded me of Senna, which was a similarly impactful film, I think, for people who weren't into motorsports.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, right. And that's exactly how I felt watching it. So it's a film I recommend very highly.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, and let's move on to Indian cinema, which often doesn't get a lot of representation in other festivals around the world. But
unless Ferrat is in the building.
Yeah. Well, but SFF, of course, doesn't fall in that category. So, you know, we have some really good films like Hotel Salvation, we have Newton, and we have Sexy Durga, which is, I think, a really interesting collaboration, which sort of, you know, we have spoken word with rap and poetry mixed into it. So talk about that.
Yeah, and we also have just on documentaries, we also have a great documentary called An Insignificant Man, which
yes.
looks at the politician Arvind Kejriwal. And
Wiener did pretty well last year.
Yes.
So I'm hoping in the same vein.
This is in Wiener territory. I'm very happy with the Indian films we have this year. I think Hotel Salvation by Shubhashish Bhutiani, a first film. He's a very young filmmaker in his mid-20s. And it's, a funny film about death. And looking at it's about a man who feels he's reached the end of his life. He convinces his son that he has to go to the holy city of Varanasi to die there so he can die a very good death. But once he gets there, he discovers a new lease on life. He finds a TV show he likes. He likes food. He finds some friends, perhaps a romantic interest. And it's a very funny film about death and family and connection. And I think it's incredible that a young director has taken on this very big subject and done it so very well. Sexy Durga is a very creepy film. It's a very scary film. I think very inspired by Hanukkah.
Yep.
And he's done an incredible job. It's a terrifying film in which very little of terror actually happens. You
okay.
don't see very much that happens.
Those are the best terrifying.
Yeah,
films.
But it's truly terrifying,
yeah.
And I think it's really wonderful. And Newton is a great film too. A comedy set during an election. It looks at, I guess, this idea of democracy, and India is often cited as the world's biggest democracy. And it looks at that idea of this election of, you know, 900 million voters that takes months and months and months. The rhetoric around democracy and the actual practice of democracy. And very funny film.
I think I've convinced Glenn to watch that.
So. I'm getting tickets, but you're coming with me.
Yes, of course I am.
It'll be a lot of fun. And speaking of, we have a lot of music fans on the station, and there are two streams that are, I think a lot of them will be very keen on. One is the retrospective on punk music, and the other is the general sounds on screen section, among which you have three films from one of my very favorite bands, Sex Pistols, as well as a host of other great music documentaries.
Yeah, every year the music related films do very well at the festival, and I think this year we have quite a range, from Michael Winterbottom's On the Road to Whitney, Can I Be Me. We have the fantastic punk retrospective, which my colleague Richard Kuypers put together. He's a real punk tragic, so for the 40th anniversary of punk, he really wanted to do something, and he'll be DJing during the festival as well at the Festival Hub. So yeah, come see some films and listen to Richard DJ and yeah, enjoy the punk.
Beyond the ability to discover films that are new and might otherwise not be seen at all, which I appreciate very much, the Sydney Film Festival also gives us the opportunity to witness a lot of classic films on the big screen. And I think there are some particularly exciting selections this year.
Yeah, we're really happy to present a retrospective of the great filmmaker Akira Kurosawa, the wonderful Japanese filmmaker. We're working with David Stratton again to present this retrospective. He made the selection of 10 essential Kurosawa films. And the reaction has been incredible. There's many of these screenings will sell out. I hope all of them will sell out. And what we try to do with that retrospective in particular is not only have people who have seen and loved those films watch them again, revisit them, but we also want to introduce these films on the big screen to a new generation who've never seen them on the big screen. So I think that's pretty important.
I think Kurosawa is one of the directors who most demands it, you know, with his huge long shots, you know, with very minute detail that really needs a big screen to be appreciated properly.
Absolutely, and I think he's one of the directors who in some ways first understood or created new ways of using that big screen.
Right.
And I think it's vitally important to see. I wish I could see all the 10 Kurosawas on the big screen during this festival. It's something denied me, but I hope many other people take the chance.
Right. I was also excited to see Taste of Cherry coming back up on the big screen in light of the passing of Abbas Kiarostami.
Yeah, he was such a fantastic filmmaker and a marvelous man. I met him a few times, and you never forget meeting Kiarostami. I think he had such an incredible presence.
Very, very vital filmmaker.
And we have a wonderful tribute to him in the form of a documentary called 76 Minutes and 15 Seconds with Abbas Kiarostami. And it's a delightful portrait of the man, of his curiosity, of his of his magical sense of the world, I guess. He loved poetry and photography and was just so curious about everything. And this film really captures that very beautifully. It's time well spent with the great master who we'll miss for a long time.
And very thankful to have that.
And you have another stream at the festival, something that's very dear to my heart, the screenability section. I've been very fortunate already to see one of the films. It's Not Yet Dark from This. It's fantastic, but it also has a connection to another film that's playing at the festival, quite a special connection.
Yes, it's a film called My Name is Emily. And the documentary you mentioned looks at this filmmaker stricken with an illness who, when just on the verge of achieving his filmmaking dreams, but he goes ahead and makes the film. And it's great to have the film and also the documentary that looks at that process.
And you have quite a few festival venues this year. We have listeners from all around Sydney. Where can people go to see movies this year at the festival?
Well, we have the usual venues, of course, the State. We have event cinemas at George Street. We are at Dendy Opera Keys. Again, we're at Kasula at the Powerhouse, and that's going to be great. We return to the Hayden Orpheum in Cremorne, a wonderful cinema. We introduce Randwick Ritz this year.
And, exciting for us Eastern Suburbs people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great cinema too, and we're delighted with the response so far. We are back at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, and of course we take on the Town Hall with the Hub. And
fantastic.
Really happy to be there.
VR showcase will still be at the Hub once again.
Yes. And we're very happy with the selection of VR films we have this year. It's been done by Leo Faber and Sean Gladwell of the Bad Faith Collective. They've done a wonderful job. I think they've scoured the globe and found some really powerful works. And I think it's going
to
be great.
Fantastic. And saving what for me might be the best till last, people at Cannes might have been upset about the presence of Netflix films, but I am very, very grateful for the chance to see Okja at the big on the big screen with Bong Joon-ho in attendance introducing the film.
I'm very excited too. But Bong Joon-ho's a hero of mine. I've loved his films for the longest time.
Myself as well.
And it's really such a delight for me that he's going to be here with us for the screening. It's one of very few screenings in the entire world on the big screen. It's the only screening on the big screen in Australia. And it's just so wonderful that director Bong said he really wanted to be in Sydney and with Netflix got us the film. So I'm truly delighted to have this as a closing film, and I hope everyone comes out and having seen the film, not on the big screen, I would say it's a film that really should be and really deserves to be seen on the big screen. It's truly amazing.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yes, we're all very excited. I've got my tickets to the closing night now. Nash, we know you have to go. We know you're working 24/7 on the festival. But we have one last question. For all the people out there listening, who will have been to the festival, but for those who have never been before, what do you say to them?
Well, I'd say this is a festival of so many films. I think by the end we'll have 300 films, and we really think and construct this program with the idea that we have something for everyone. So I always encourage people to take a chance, see something, trust us. We've made some
trust us.
Yes, we have really wonderful films. We think there's something for you, and try with a few films to begin. Buy a single ticket, but we think you'll be satisfied, and you'll enter this incredible world of cinema that happens in Sydney within 12 days, and we think you'll be hooked.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
No, but it's good, because I made all my friends through Sydney Film Festival. We all became friends.
We all met at the Hub last year. Actually.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's we're really grateful. Nashan, the festival, the 12 days are the 7th to the 19th of June,
18th?
All around Sydney.
7th to the 18th.
18th, excuse me, the 18th. Nashan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
And we'll be back very shortly talking about DC and Wonder Woman. Stay tuned.
Unlock your creative potential without giving up your day job. NIDA Studio courses run part-time across weekends, offering pre-professional training for ages 15+. Guided by Australia's leading practitioners, you'll develop skills in acting, directing, writing, filmmaking, or musical theatre over 6 or 12 months. Audition June 24 for a July start. Get details at nida.edu.au/studios. NIDA is a proud sponsor of 2SER.
And we're back on Film Fight Club. Wow, isn't that great to have Nash in the studio?
I am so excited. Oh, God. It's just childlike wonder.
It's 1 week. 1 week we're going to be watching We Don't Need a Map on the big screen at the State Theatre.
And then many, probably about 300 more films to follow until our eyes become rectangles.
Yes, like running from one venue to the other. This is what my life is.
Yep. Oh, it's the best.
So you just mentioned childlike wonder, and I feel that's a very interesting word considering our next subject.
Wonder Woman. So this is out tomorrow. It is the big release of the week. It is starring Gal Gadot as the Wonder Woman, as one of the iconic DC characters. And we'll talk about the film in quite some detail, but I've got to say, in my view, this was the best DC film in 5 years. And that may not be a very high bar, but Wonder Woman has vaulted over it. And it's really a film you should see.
Yeah, I loved it. Look, I'm usually a very cynical person, as everyone in the studio would know, as Chris definitely would know.
I think I'm the resident cynic in the building, but
okay,
you can
I just
be number
like
two.
Hayden Chris, maybe. Maybe that's my default role. But I was really, really blown away by this film. It's just so much fun, because it actually is an origin story which cares about the character. You see the character going through the journey, and it's not the usual DC sort of very self-obsessed narrative which DC films fall into, which is all about godlike imagery, all about Christianity and religion and superheroes wanting to be demigods and yet trying to be human at the same time.
To be fair, there were a lot of demigods in this film, and there was a 10-minute prologue talking about Greek mythology. So
Okay, beside that, which is the usual pitfall DC can often fall into, what I really liked that this film, there were not a lot of people giving it a chance. And I felt this film really proved them wrong in a very good way. This is not, okay, let's put this out of the window. Let's chuck this argument out of the window. This is not a good film because it is the first female superhero film. This is not a good film because it's directed by a female director. Yes, those are good points to be made, but this is just a darn good film on any day of the week.
No, this film, I mean, it was enjoyable. The action scenes were well done. The casting was exceptional. And Gal Gadot, you could not have hoped for a better lead.
I'll just come out here and admit that I haven't seen this film yet. I, as the resident cynic, who is also incredibly superhero fatigued, would like to know why I should see this film. Could you guys sell me on it?
This is, well, first of all, there's the cast. Chris right. Pine in the supporting role is absolutely hilarious.
He was great in Into the Woods. That guy has a lot of unrealized screen potential, I think.
Yeah, it's so funny. There's a lot of humor in this film. It's a very, but more importantly, I think this film actually has something to say about our superhero culture, about how we look up to superheroes, and also just about humanity. I think there is a lot of actual interplay between the current sexual politics and the current zeitgeist about how people interact with each other and where we find ourselves today. So it's a very relevant, very current film.
Yeah, I mean, there's been many, many opportunities for Marvel and many other franchises to have a female-led superhero film.
Marvel have dragged their heels.
Yeah, the Scarlett Johansson one that has just not materialized, but DC have
done goodness.
It, and they have done it well. And there was, speaking of the casters, I didn't realize till today, but one of the comic relief was Dawn from The Office.
Yes, and she was fantastic. It really played well, and I'm just amazed. One of the other things also that stands out is actually the costume of Wonder Woman, because, let's be honest, it's not the most apparent aspect that usually you can say a plus point of the character. But the way Patty Jenkins frames it and the way the cinematography actually presents it, this is very much part of the body armor instead of using it as a costume. And that's what is quite amazing about this film.
I like, from what I've seen of it, that the costume is being presented in all its unabashed, bright colored ridiculousness.
Yeah, there is no objectification there, and I was so relieved for that.
The DC films so far have seemed to shy away from presenting the superhero suits as they are, like trying to turn Superman's bold, bright color, beacon of glory into like this dark armor, whereas I like seeing it's Wonder Woman. She looks like Wonder Woman. She looks like a comic book character. They don't seem to be ashamed of making a comic book movie here.
And the action sequences, gosh, I mean, they were amazing.
There's a scene, one scene on the Western Front. It's set during the First World War, and there's another scene in a small French village, both of which are just remarkable. And you would expect, potentially in an action film, for it not to be dealt with so succinctly or with nuance. But no, there was a lot in this film that was just
full-blown, out-and-out action. And also what I also liked was that there wasn't too many cuts with the action sequences that you often find to make them look slick. This was done in a proper wide frame that you could see all the characters in play, which often doesn't happen, especially in blockbuster superhero movies.
Okay, that's selling me.
And it was funny.
Okay, it's a really funny film. And yeah, I was so on board with this. I was crying, I was laughing.
Wow, okay.
I was the one laughing, and I'm always the one person weirdly laughing in every screening, but in this one, I was definitely cheering for the film as well.
Does this bode well for Justice League, potentially?
Let's not jump the shark.
Let's not jump the shark, no. But look, it seems they've done it, at least made a good film, and it's in cinemas tomorrow, one definitely worth catching. We're almost bang out of time. We will be joining you over the coming 2 weeks of the Sydney Film Festival. We'll be talking much more on that. There will be many screenings, many great events, and we seriously encourage, especially if you haven't been before, it's really, really worth going. And not just that, the social aspect, you will meet amazing
just
people.
Just come talk to us.
Hang out at the Hub. Come see us.
Yeah, come see us at the Hub.
Yell loudly, where is Film Fight Club?
Exactly.
Until, you know, we
Or just come and talk to us. More likely, we'll take you to a screening ourselves because we're just film tragics.
Pretty much.
Well, we will see you at the festival. We look forward to joining you there. Have a wonderful night and enjoy movies. Good night.
Wonder Woman.